Hey Brian, hey Rick, Shooter McGavin here on a Masters weekend, day two. Wow. So I heard your From the Tips podcast is kind of badass.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of From the Tips. It's me, boy Brian, always joined by my fantastic co-host Rick Landis. Rick, during this Red October, how you doing, good buddy?
I'm doing swell. I'll be doing better if the Phillies can pull out a win tonight. Those yep. listening will know the results of the game, and you'll know what mood I'm in. Probably. Yeah, but at the same time, I'm going to the game the day you're listening to this on Tuesday. So I'm probably in a good mood either way. Yeah. Shout out to Sarah. I don't think she listens, so she'll never hear this, but shout out to Sarah for inviting Gina and I to go on a little double date with her. I'm excited.
Dude,
Red October's back.
Hell yeah.
Last year, we did not get to the NLCS, I believe. We were.
Yeah, we did the DS and the World Series.
So I'm excited to see a little bit different of an atmosphere, not quite as exciting as the World Series, but also a little bit more exciting than the NLDS. So sure. We'll see what happens. I'm excited. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun series. From what I hear, the Diamondbacks are the Phillies of last year. I don't pay as much attention to other teams around the league. I mostly just pay attention to the Phillies. But that's what I'm hearing, which to me means it's going to be an exciting game.
Yeah,
and we just have to hope that they're not the Phillies of last year, as in they win like the Phillies of last year.
we have to hope that we're not last year's Padres, which means all we have to do is avoid cringy songs getting onto social media, and basically just avoid being a mediocre fan base, which I'm about 100% positive we can do.
I'm 100% sure we're not a mediocre fan base. Teams are practicing and pumping noise into their stadiums during practice to try to replicate what it's like at CBP, which, by the way, you can't do. People try it. The Seahawks have the whole thing with the 12s and everything.
Yeah.
It's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
That stadium is built completely different to radiate the noise and make it sound louder than it is. CBP is just raucous Philly fans just excited to be there and excited to see their team doing something relevant for the first time since 2010. And it's going to be fun. I'm excited. I'm excited to go to the game. I'm excited to watch the series. I hate that we have the 8 o'clock start times again. It's destroying my physical health. However, I'm going to watch because I have to.
Yeah, the lack of sleep is completely booty cheeks. Is it still 8 o'clock on the East Coast when they're in Arizona?
I don't know because of the time difference. For some reason,
When it's in Arizona, they're doing it at 5.
5? Oh, that's beautiful.
And that's 5 Eastern time. So those games are going to be at like 2 o'clock?
That's beautiful.
Their time?
I'm very excited about
that. That's kind of stupid for them, though, no? Like,
yeah.
No one's going to
come. Three home games in a row, so I don't care.
No one's going to come to your games. That just makes zero sense.
Yeah, I mean,
a lot of people go to those games. Yeah, I mean, look, the thing about the crowd noise, especially when it comes to, you know, the Phillies games, is a lot of players have said that ballpark, the way it's shaped, feels like everybody's on top of you, which is not very good as a visiting team, especially when it's very loud in there. There's a certain noise level in there that you're just not going to be able to recreate. And that noise level we felt last year and went to the NLDS game when it was the first game back in the playoffs in Philadelphia since, I think, 2011. And that was nuts. That was an absolutely insane atmosphere that we were at.
Yeah.
And it's only going to get better this year, because the fans are that more hungry, because we already went to the World Series. So it's going to be absolute insanity. That's awesome. What a ride. Hopefully they win tonight and we can win 2 in a row in Philadelphia and feel really good.
That would be ideal, obviously.
I'm knocking wood now because I don't want to jinx anything.
Yeah.
But, you know,
knock on all the wood. But yeah, I'm excited. Red October is always a good time. We don't have to talk about fantasy football this week. Not important.
Not important. Not important. No need
to get.
No,
we don't need to get into it. Because relevant things aren't even happening in our leagues. So
that's fair. That's fair. Don't even got to talk about it a little bit. No.
We don't have to talk about the fact that Brian has Justin Fields and he's still beating me this week.
and Christian McCaffrey both hurt. What's Josh Allen's status?
I saw questionable, I believe. Yeah, I don't really know exactly what's going on.
Is it because he tried to pick a fight with a defensive lineman?
I don't know, but he's big enough. Like, he could handle himself.
If
Johnny Hecker can take on a linebacker, Josh Allen can take on a defensive lineman. Oh, yeah, he's day-to-day with a shoulder injury.
Good, good. Bad week for injuries in the NFL.
Yeah, because I also had Debo Samuel who went out with an injury. So, like... Yeah. Just not a great week.
Dude, a lot of big names out after this week, which is crazy for the league in at large.
Yeah. I need the Dallas Cowboys to have two field goals or one field goal or two extra points, however they want to do that.
However they want to work that out.
I'll win in my other league at least, so that'll be nice.
Yeah, at least we get a win, right? You know.
But baseball's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
Football is totally second in my brain right now, especially tonight, because it's the Cowboys and I'm tired of hearing about them.
That's
not as tired as I am hearing about the Chiefs, but pretty close.
Look, it's hard because now the Chiefs are also attached to Taylor Swift, so that's a little extra.
That's why I'm done with it. It has nothing to do with the fact that they're the Chiefs. Like, you're a good team. We had to deal with the Patriots. I can deal with another dynasty team. I don't want to hear about it anymore, especially when they play Philly. It's going to be hell.
Yeah.
Having to listen to that stuff.
Now you got the Kelsey wrinkle again, which don't get me wrong. Love those two. In fact, they have an incredible podcast, but they're just, I think they're just funny dudes generally, but it got so overplayed during the Super Bowl that at a point I was like, okay, can we get back to the fact that this is in fact a football game between two very good teams that I would like to talk about?
Yeah. You know? They're not even going against each other.
No, you know? They're not mono-mono. Like,
It would be different if Travis was on the defensive line and he was going head to head with Jason all the time. You know,
I would love that.
Not how it works.
I mean, Travis could have probably been a linebacker with his build. But you know, either way, it was just one of those things where you get tired of hearing about it. And now with the Chiefs and the Taylor Swift and all that jazz, it's just a little much for me. But no, I'm with you. Fully Red October right now, mostly. What my favorite bit is that the Eagles lost for the first time this season, moving to 5-1. And a majority of people that I've talked to today, even the most diehard of Eagles fans that I've talked to today, still wanted to talk more about Zach Wheeler's start tonight and the Phils. You know what I mean?
It's the most relevant thing in Philly right now.
Yeah, but that never happens in this city. It is pretty much Eagles no matter what.
Yeah, during football season.
Yeah, and then they captured last year's magic. That was a blast. Everybody was on board, and they're trying to do it again, and everybody's on board again. It's cool. It's cool to be a part of. Now, I will tell you what Rick and I are going to do, all you listeners out there, in 3 to 5 years when the Flyers are good. Don't think it's going to be all kindness and you know, join the bandwagon like it was with the Phillies. Absolutely not. I'm going to be gatekeeping the hell out of the Flyers, okay?
We don't want you there.
We don't need you.
You haven't lived through it.
If you weren't here for the Ryan Ellis deal, you don't deserve to be here when we're good and Mitch Kopf comes over, okay? If you can't handle us, then you don't deserve us at our best.
If you weren't here for the 1-0 start in 2023, only to be just absolutely upended by a horrendously under 500 season, don't even think about it.
Ooh, boy, oh boy. Yeah, I am fully
prepared. How many wins, by the way, are you thinking for our boys in orange this year?
Golly, I mean, I think they get more than they did last year just because I think the talent, not necessarily the talent is better, but I think the chance for the talent to be better is a better chance because it's younger talent. So I'm going to say anywhere from 34 to 35 wins, probably.
I'd be ecstatic with 35.
Yeah, 35 would be huge.
I would be ecstatic with 35.
Yeah, 35 would be big. I expect endless overtime losses just because that just – it feels right. It feels right for them to lose in overtime.
Yeah.
Pretty much all the time. But I think that they're just going to be more exciting to watch this year, which I'm excited about just because they're younger. They look a lot faster. They're not well-structured because they're not really a team quite yet. There's not really a cohesive unit.
Yeah.
But that's going to come with the season. That's just going to happen at some point. But I'm excited about the young talent they have. Tyson Forrester, Bobby Brink. I mean, you look at guys coming back from last year, Owen Tippett. Sean Couturier is playing hockey again, even though apparently he's a bit banged up. But it doesn't have to do with his back, which I don't know what that means. Cam Atkinson is back. You have Travis Sanheim's now a better defenseman, which is weird because usually he was just a pylon back there. So that's interesting. 3 to 5 years. We're gatekeeping the hell out of them. We don't need you people, okay?
Yeah.
I don't want to see you step foot in the Farg, okay, if you weren't here for the bad years. I did see somebody tweet. This is the last bit we'll talk about. We will get into golf, I swear. But I did see somebody tweet, and I want to see if I can find it. It was like, if you're watching the Phillies game right now while the Flyers are dominating the Blue Jackets, I don't want to see you in the Farg when Michkov comes.
That's so good.
I was watching both, so I was like, this is, I mean, I had the Flyers on my phone and we had the Phillies on the TV, and Ellie was like, do you have to have the Flyers right there? And I was like, I mean,
we were sitting on the couch and Gina turns to me, she goes, do you have the Flyers game on too? And I was like, yes.
I will not take judgment right now, okay? First of all, they're winning, and they don't look horrendous, which is just a big upgrade from last year.
I have to watch.
I got to watch, right? The 1-0-0 Flyers? Again, getting us all excited before just getting dominated in Ottawa 5-2. Not a big deal. All righty. Let's go ahead and talk about that golf here. Welcome to From the Tips. We waste the first 50 minutes of every episode talking about anything, really. So if you're still stuck around and you're like, when's the golf coming? Here you go. We had the Shriners this weekend. Not necessarily what you would consider one of the main tournaments that people would like to tune into. But again, something that we talk about on this podcast, what feels like a lot, is getting wins when you're maybe like second tier, maybe just bottom of the leaderboard, usually kind of guy where you're just fighting to make cuts week in and week out. Mm-hmm. Getting wins here or getting big finishes here can be huge down the stretch when you're trying to compete to get into the FedEx Cup playoffs. Because if you can get a good 500 points or something close to that out of these early tournaments when you don't have your John Rahms, Rory McIlroys, Justin Thomases, your Scotty Schefflers, all those dudes that are about to come back, you know, come January when they're playing in Hawaii.
Yeah.
It's gonna help you in the long run.
Get your point.
It's gonna help you. Yeah. There are plenty of guys that have borderline skyrocketed their entire careers based off that concept alone. I mean, Sam Burns is a guy that 2 years ago did that, just like kind of came onto the scene, got a big win in the early.
Just had two wins before January even started, and that just catapulted his season into the FedEx Cup playoffs.
And lo and behold, then he makes a Ryder Cup team. You know, like this is the kind of stuff that can really change who you are as a player. So obviously big to talk about in that kind of scope, if we're going to get excited about it. So Tom Kim, the defending champion going into it and the still champion going out of it, as he is the youngest to do so since 1912, to go defending the Shriners. I believe he had the chance at the end of last year to defend, one of his titles. I'm not sure. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
He 1912 sounds familiar.
He could have defended at the Wyndham Championship, but he couldn't play because of injury. But he wound up being able to do so at the Shriners after a very active moving day. So everybody knows, you know, Saturday is your moving day, blah blah blah. You get all that. Here's moving day went full buck wild because you had five guys with 7 under at least scores going into They were like mid-20s, mid-30s. Callum Tarrant started T48 going into Saturday. Wound up T7 going into Sunday.
Not bad.
Like, that's not bad. You know, Tom Kim and Adam Hadwin were both outside of the top 20. Mm-hmm. Ended up being tied first. Both Adam Hadwin going 8 under. Tom Kim going 9 under on Saturday. Talk about a performance. Holy cow. I feel like this is a guy that we've talked about already a bunch, though, and for good reason here, folks. We told you he'd be a problem at the President's Cup. He was a problem at the President's Cup. We told you he'd be a problem at the not the Ryder Cup. We told you he'd be a problem come this season or this last season. He was up there. He was competing for a FedEx Cup championship, and I definitely a guy that is going to continue to do so. After the President's Cup, obviously a little bit back in the past to look for, but after you saw his performance and then what he was able to do at the end stretch of last season, are you surprised that he's basically starting off the season right on the right foot and getting a win?
I'm not, and for the reason that you said already, that the guys like John Rahm, Justin Thomas, Scotty, all these guys aren't playing yet. And if we look at his stats from last year, Tom Kim, he played 27 events. That's over half. Okay. He had 2 wins last year, 9 top 10s. So that means 30% of the time he was in the top 10. And he made 22 of the 27 cuts. Those are some solid numbers. And going up against guys like we saw this week, where it's the Adam Hadwins and who else is there? 1 second. The JT Postens, like the guys that, like, you know their name, but they're usually towards the bottom of the leaderboard and you're not really expecting too much out of them. A guy like him is going to just dominate a tournament like this. And Adam Hadwin was close. There was a few other guys that were around him, but he's clearly the best golfer out of these guys, and not shocked at all to see him come away with a win here.
No, definitely not surprised. And, you know, to kind of piggyback off of what you were saying, it's another situation where obviously he's not necessarily one of the lesser known guys because of his performances on big stages so far, but he's one of those players in that bracket of the names you just said that is at the top of that name bracket. He's like, you put those guys in a tier list and take all like the big guns out, he's like top 5, top 3 even of those players alone, you know? Yeah. And also you have guys like Joel Damon who are going to crack a top 10 in that tier of players who wound up being T7 of this tournament. A lot of these lesser known guys can take such advantage of this, and I'm happy to see Tom Kim doing so. Another guy that we've warned you, we told you after his performance at the Ryder Cup, he was going to be a problem. Look who's in the top 20 again, but Ludvig Åberg. He's going to be a problem. I can feel it in my bones. I feel like he's going to have a similar rise to Victor Hovland. Now, I'm not just saying because they're both Scandinavian, that he's Swedish and Victor Hovland's from Norway, but it's just the way that they both hit the scene is very similar to me. Now, I know that he didn't do it through the college route like Victor Hovland did, but it's a similar route to take in a way that it feels very similar. I'm looking at this and he did play in college. Who did he play for? Tell me.
Texas Tech.
Okay. So basically it's like the return of Victor Hovland 2.0. Looking at his college stats, he had four wins in 2023 in college. That is nuts. Are you kidding me?
That's pretty good.
Okay. He won the Big 12 Men's Championship, won the NCAA Norman Regional. Unfortunately, in the D1 Championship, came in T29. Not a great effort, but winning the Big 12, that's huge. Because the Big 12, I know that we talk about Power 5 schools in football, but that's one of the Power 5 schools in golf. You know, the Big 12 and the Pac-12, those are big golf schools, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's big. And then wins on the Euro Tour at the Omega European Masters, two appearances on tour since the Ryder Cup, since everybody has been talking about this kid could be something. T2, T13.
Pretty good.
Dude is 23 years old.
Kid's good.
Kid's just good. And look, I'm getting Victor Hovland vibes, and we are putting him on your radar now, people. We are not usually the type of podcast to be able to call this out early. I like what we did, though. I like that we called this out early.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely a guy that if I was still doing sports betting all the time, he'd be one of my black horses. Is that what they're called? Dark horses. One of my dark horses every week, just because he's just good. Like, he just plays good golf. We've seen him do it under pressure at the President's Cup. Like, he's going to be one of those guys. Or the Ryder Cup, yeah. He's going to be one of those guys that we see start to emerge as one of the names on tour.
And he's doing it in a very similar way to how Crown Vic did it early in his career, right? Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, making these kind of comparisons is saying a lot, considering Victor Hovland is just coming off of winning the FedEx Cup and having an absolutely dominating performance at the Ryder Cup. However, they're coming onto the scene in very similar fashions where, you know, remember Victor Hovland was just hitting the crap out of the ball but had no short game and couldn't putt.
Yeah.
Ludvig Åberg's short game and putting are definitely better than Vic's coming on the scene. But his driving distance right now against tour average is 1.9 strokes better than tour average.
It's pretty good.
Dude's wild.
That'll get you somewhere.
That'll get you somewhere. And if you just have a feasible short game in putting, you're going to win. You know, that's just going to happen. Obviously, he's young. Obviously, he's still up and coming. But he's 58 in the world right now. He's 96 in FedEx Cup. He's 54 on the Euro Tour. He's a guy that is going to make an impact. Is it this year? Maybe. I'm not quite sold. Is it going to be the next year? You could almost guarantee it.
Yeah.
It's going to be a similar rise to Victor Hovland, I think, in a thousand different ways. Now, it could wind up being a similar rise to someone like Jon Rahm. I know I'm putting a large name out there, but he took almost the same type of route, coming from Arizona State, winning, taking early wins as a college amateur, and then winning on the PGA Tour, and then becoming one of the most dominant guys on tour.
Yeah.
There's something to be said about the college route, and I think it's a cool little thing that there's a lot to be said about, you know, obviously taking the amateur route where you do the Q school and then the Corn Ferry and then you try to earn your tour card. Now, obviously that's a proven way to get your tour card. But I like what I'm seeing out of the college circuit right now. That's a lot of big names who had gone to school. Scottie Scheffler went to school for golf. Jon Rahm went to school for golf. Victor Hovland, now Ludvig Åberg. You have guys that took the college route succeeding. I think that's kind of cool. I don't know.
And I mean, if you think about it, like, most of the time, unless you're a freak of nature, you're going to need that kind of coaching to kind of hone in your skills. Like, you could be a really good golfer just naturally, but in order to get to that next level, you need some sort of coaching. And not everybody's going to be like Tiger Woods, where they're just amazing right out the gate.
Right. Yeah.
You got to get a little bit of coaching in there. And going to college for 3-4 years and learning what it's like, especially for the guys like Ludvig, who won the Pac-12, you said, was that what it was?
Big 12.
Yeah. Who won the Big 12. Like, that's a big moment. Like, that's going to translate into professional golf a little bit better than someone who doesn't have the experience in that kind of environment. And I think that's part of the reason that we're seeing these guys who are taking the college route and winning on the college circuit and winning these big tournaments in college, succeeding on the PGA Tour, because they have that mental edge on the guys that don't have that experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it is true. And also, maybe we should get our boy Dawson back on the pod if he's going to, I mean, he got himself a win on the college circuit there for the old Temple Owls, T for Temple U. Probably got to reach back out to him, see what he's going to be doing. Another guy that we could early call and be like, success. All right, but to keep moving on the Shriners here, one other huge story that, you know, Rick and I are going to talk about maybe could have been promoted a smidge more. It felt like a deal wasn't, a big enough deal wasn't made out of it. But Lexi Thompson, who was on
might
the
sound familiar.
Who might sound familiar from her days on the LPGA tour, is the seventh woman to play on a PGA tour event when she received a sponsor's exemption into the Shriners Children's Open. Now, some of you may be asking, how is this possible? I thought the PGA Tour was men's only, blah, blah, blah. There's pretty much no rules when it comes to a sponsorship exemption. That's why you'll see some amateurs
age.
On tour events.
Age doesn't matter.
Age doesn't matter. Sex doesn't matter. Whether they're an amateur doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's
your sponsor buys.
You're exempted by the sponsor. You know, yeah. Callaway said you'll be representing us in this tournament.
Yeah.
Go right.
They basically buy your entry into the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, they could literally do it to any of us. They wouldn't, but they could. You know,
they should, but they won't.
They won't, but they should.
I don't know how electric it would be watching one of us out there on a Sunday. So not that we'd make it to Sunday, but
absolutely losing our minds. Somebody popping off a 120, just like, let's go.
sinks a bogey putt from like 15 feet. And we're like, yeah.
Yeah, Rick and I.
John finishing his round this weekend with a 7.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, man,
that bomb of that... a butt.
God, give me John Murray as a sponsor's exemption. You're a TPI instructor, John. You have an in with Titleist. It works some magic, big guy.
Could you imagine him being like, okay, I'll do it, but you have to let me bring my flag with me.
I'm putting on the eye black.
They're the only two requirements.
How bad do you want me? I need the flag. I need the eye black. I need both.
For some reason, I just picture him like making his caddy run so the Irish flag just flaps in the wind.
He's just like like on the first tee box. He's like, how do you feel about running to the ball, by the way? I feel like walking, the flag's not going to fly well enough. So we're going to get a little move. Jog going. Yeah. But Lexi Thompson becoming the seventh woman. She played from the same tees as the men because you have to. They're just the tour tees. It's not like a men's, women's, old guys tees. It's just these are the tees that everybody's playing. And she, in fact, drove a green during her time on this tournament. She didn't make the cut, unfortunately, but she did post a 73-69, which is better than any of us would do. A total of 1 under or 2 under, whatever it is, some around there. But the fact of the matter is do you think a big enough draw was made about this? I just don't. I feel like it should have at least hit our feeds, and I guess it did a little bit, but
yeah,
there had to be some sort of advertisement for this, you know?
You would think that it would be something that would be made a bigger deal of to draw some female eyes to golf, but at the same time, looking at it from their perspective, like, yeah, it's a sponsor's exemption. Like, she didn't, like, go through the same process that the guys go through to get on the PGA Tour. If she doesn't do well, which she didn't necessarily do well, it doesn't look as good. You know what I mean? Like, if she had, like, made the cut, I think it would have been all over the feeds. Mm-hmm. I think you would have seen it every single golf page that you went on. But the fact that she didn't make the cut was kind of what they were thinking was going to happen. So that's why they didn't make a big deal out of it.
Right. I mean, for what it's worth, though, when you kind of look at it, bigger picture, I guess you could say, is that, I mean, she did make the cut, but she wasn't far off, right?
She shot even, I believe.
Yeah, she said she wound up shooting even, and I'm not quite sure what the cut line was, but it could not have been that far off. So the cut line was 2 under. She was two strokes away from making a cut. You know what I mean?
Pretty close.
Posting those scores from those distances as a female, like, I'm not going to get into the whole kit and caboodle there. That's just hard to do, right?
Yeah.
But that goes to show that professional athletes are professional athletes no matter who they are in a way, right? And now golf is one of those sports where you can pretty much compare and contrast a female and a male at the same level. You know, if they have the same ability to access the gym, the same ability to access trainers, et cetera, they can be comparable even from the same distances. I feel like I know what my answer is, and I feel like I know what your answer is, but it's asked here, and I'm seeing it on social media. Is this a tick in the direction of them combining the sport?
I don't see it.
I don't see it either.
No, I think there's just too much going on right now in the sport in general to even have them consider it as an option. Is it cool? Like, would it be cool if like every week we had a girl from the PGA Tour, the LPGA Tour, come on and play sponsors exemption in the tournament? Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. But with Live and everything that's going on, like, I just don't see it as something that would even be close to the top of their priority list right now as far as making happen permanently.
Yeah, there's a lot of turmoil going around the game currently without trying to do that. So, and obviously, you look at the way that she was successful, and she is one of the longest hitters on the LPGA, and she just did that again, right? I mean, it helps when you can hit the ball a long way, but that doesn't always mean that all the ladies on the LPGA Tour can hit the ball that far and become kind of comparable in that category where the males draw an advantage.
Yeah.
But I think, and now I don't know if this idea would ever happen, but we've talked about how this the early season golf can sometimes be a smidge boring and feel relatively unnecessary. In the grand scheme of things, maybe do a winter mini tour where it's like, you take the best of who would be willing of each, the LPGA and the PGA, put them together for a couple of tournaments around the, around, you know, some tropical parts of the United States in the South, maybe even Hawaii, and just do something like that.
That'd be cool.
I think it'll be a cool comparison, but, you know, mano a mano there, you know?
Yeah, I think it'd be really cool, especially because like 90% of the time, I think Nelly Korda would just destroy everybody.
Probably. but you know, another cool thing about it is, you know, Lexi had a pretty tough season on the LPGA Tour, so it's kind of cool to see her bounce back at a PGA Tour event. That's kind of kick-ass, if you ask me.
Good confidence boost.
Great confidence boost. Last bit about the Shriners here before we move forward. Joel Damon, I just thought this was funny. Joel Damon just tweeted out, let me see if I can find the specific tweet here because I thought it was hilarious. He tweets that. This is actually the first tweet we're going to talk about. He tweeted twice, and the second one involves Max Homa, so you know it's good. tweets out, would anyone like to play my back nine today? Let me see if I can find the rest of the tweet here. Where'd it go? Anyone want to play my back nine today? I need to watch the UW underscore football at UW underscore football team beat up on the Ducks. Hashtag game day. He wanted to watch Washington defeat the Ducks. And then he went ahead and popped off two eagles on said back nine to post a 7 underscore on his Saturday round.
The man.
I mean, just a dude you want to have succeed.
Yeah.
He's the best. You know, just I love that guy.
The real guys are the best.
I know. And to talk about his next tweet, Max Homa tweeted out, he said, just one time, I'd like to go on a boys trip where we catch up on sleep and relax as much as possible instead of pushing our bodies to the absolute limit. Retweet, Max. Retweet there, my guy. Joel Damon responds, a classic Joel Damon response, I don't want to be on that trip. Max responds to that and goes, win-win. That's the kind of stuff that's like, that's just good for the game. You know?
Yeah.
You like guys just being if we're going to just do the meme, that's just guys being dudes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Did you see Max Homa's reply to Leo?
No.
Leo was like, roast me. And Max Homa said, Leo, hold my beer. And it was like, Leo's girlfriend, I can't. I'll go to jail.
Oh no, that's awful. That's hilarious.
But that's so,
that's so good. Dang, I forgot about that meme.
Yeah,
man, that's like from 2 years ago. What is that? Yeah, dive for Max Homa.
Yeah, it's funny.
Oh, that's good.
Before we get into next week, for those that have just sporadic psychotic brains like myself, and for the life of you can't remember what happened in 1912 when Brian said it about 30 minutes ago,
right,
has been just absolutely befuddling me. I looked it up. It was the Titanic. The Titanic sunk in 1912. Oh,
yeah. So that's a thing.
That might be it. There might be something else. I don't know, but that was it for me. So,
well, hey, you know, we had our own water disaster with the submarine this year. Maybe there's something to young golfers defending championships and aquatic murder.
There I think I'll stick something. With Nick Castellanos and poorly timed home runs.
That's fair. That's fair. when he hit two home runs in back-to-back games and did them for the first time in baseball history, I might add, I started texting family members. I was like, is everybody okay? Is everybody breathing still? Are we all right? Everybody good? You know, I was concerned. I thought,
yeah,
everybody.
As you should have been. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right. But before we get into the Zozo Champ, one little point to touch on here that I find interesting is LIV Golf was officially denied after 16 months of deliberation. World ranking points from the official World Golf Ranking Board, essentially saying the biggest strike against the LIV Tour was its lack of guaranteed promotion and relegation of players. That is what the PGA Tour does. They have a relegation promotion system. Pretty much like English soccer, if anybody follows that, if you play poorly enough, you get relegated back to the Korn Ferry Tour, where you have to earn your tour card back. If you played well enough on the Korn Ferry Tour, you earn your pro tour card. It is a continuous system of promotion and relegation. You have to earn your right to be on the PGA Tour. It is not a given right because you got there one time. Now, LIV up to this point didn't have said system, so that would be the biggest strike against them. What blew me away a little bit, Rick, and I want to kind of talk to you about this, is immediately after this news kind of dropped, they immediately relegated guys. So which I don't know if that's their just response to hope to continue the conversation there, or if they just did it. But four relegations were made. Jedidiah Morgan, James Pyatt, Chase Koepka, and Siwon Kim. We're relegated from LIV, so their contracts are, have been terminated, and they're basically free agent golfers at this point. Assuming they will probably come over in that merger and be on some sort of professional level with golf. But do you think it's weird that the official World Golf Ranking Board just said you were denied and then LIV relegated guys? Or do you think that it makes more sense that maybe instead of having it be a denial, this is LIV being like, okay, we will do that, but do we now have to reappeal? It's just weird to me that they get denied for that and then immediately do it.
Yeah, it is weird. And I got to imagine the golfers that got relegated are incredibly frustrated right now, because part of the reason you take the LIV deal is because it's a guaranteed contract. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden you just get relegated out of nowhere when that probably wasn't in the contract, to be honest.
Yeah.
I got to imagine there's probably going to be lawsuits, unless there's something in the contract that says that it can be terminated at any time, which I don't know why you'd sign that if you were one of the LIV guys, but I don't know. That's the weird thing to me is the timing. You're right. It's weird. And I feel like it's going to lead to some issues with the guys that got relegated out of nowhere.
Yeah. Not only that, but I'm fairly certain with some of the rumblings that I've been hearing around media in the golf world is that LIV players, when they went to sign, were told it would be almost a quote unquote formality about getting world golf ranking points. Like the LIV Tour had it figured out. They were already in conversations. Everything was going to go fine. That wasn't going to be affected. And now the official World Golf Ranking Board just said no. You know, after 16 months, which 16 months pretty much falls in line with the timeline of when LIV began.
Yeah.
And then now they said no. So all these LIV Tour players are getting nothing for official World Golf Ranking points at this juncture. And do you think that's going to add a little bit to the buyer's remorse for some of the bigger guys on that tour, like a Brooks Koepka, Phil Mickelson, Cam Smith, etc.?
I do, but I don't. There's a few guys that I think it'll cause problems with, like Phil Mickelson. I don't think he cares at all. Brooks Koepka might, Cam Smith might, DJ might, but I think most of the guys, like, we know went there for the money, whether they admit it or not.
Right.
So as long as they're still getting that money, I don't really think they care about the World Golf Rankings all that much. And we say it all the time, especially when LIV was really becoming a thing, like, these guys are still competitors, but at the same time, like, how competitive are you going to be if your money's not earned every week like it is on the PGA Tour? Like, you see these guys grinding and putting in the work to get their money on the PGA Tour, and you look at literally any other sport where a contract's guaranteed and they just don't play as well. Like, people play better in a contract year. It's just a fact. Like, you watch guys in any other sport, they're in a contract year, it's the best season they've had since they entered the league.
Yeah,
because they know they need to earn their next contract. Yeah. And a lot of the LIV guys, I feel like, are just there because of the contract and the money.
Yeah, well, I mean, which we knew pretty much, like you said, that was pretty much foregone conclusion for a lot of the guys. I'm sure there are some that are going to be like, well, that's kind of fucked. But
yeah.
But then also, like, with this merger happening, I'm confused from the gate as to what's going to occur now, because you have the PGA Tour merging with LIV. So will they, like, at the start of the 2024-25 season, will that just be a null and void point? Will they just start getting points again?
Yeah, I don't know.
It feels weird, because I just kind of thought that all of that was put to the side once the merger began.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see that they came to a full conclusion now.
It makes me think that they're not as close to a merger as we originally thought.
I was going to bring that up. I'm wondering if the news maybe they put the buggy before the horse.
Yeah.
Maybe things leaked before things were really getting.
Yeah, it sounds to me, and the timing of everything makes it seem like the merger is a thing that's being talked about. But with everything coming out when it did, that it wasn't quite as far along as we thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're like just trying to keep their guys happy as the merger progresses. And obviously we have all the legal stuff that's going on with it, and that might be putting a slowdown to it as well. But it's just weird. You're right. It's weird the timing that they said, basically, you're not getting anything because there's no relegation. And then like an hour later, they're like, see ya.
Getting
relegated. Little weird, but I don't know. I mean, I guess we just have to wait until more stuff comes out to really know what the whole deal is.
Yeah, I guess we're just pretty much at the mercy of the news that winds up getting leaked. But I think you bring up a very good point. I think maybe they kind of counted their chickens before they hatched, in a way.
I love all of these little things that you're saying.
Yeah, right? Isn't this fun?
The horse before the buggy. I never heard that one.
No? You haven't heard horse before the buggy?
No,
that's one I got from my grandfather. So that actually makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. Yep. You know, growing up in middle PA, where there are horses and buggies, that'll get you there. Because, you know, I don't know if you know this, Rick, if you put the buggy before the horse, it ain't going nowhere.
Yeah. The horse ain't going to push the buggy. It's trying to pull it.
I mean, it probably could, but the terminology makes too much sense. All righty. Speaking of making too much sense, Robert Bolden. Here we are. Power rankings for the Zozo Championship. This one's I'm not going to call it a marquee event, but you will usually see bigger names play in this event.
Yeah.
And you're seeing that in the top five. Like, these aren't the guys that are bringing the big bucks, your John Rahms, Rory McIlroys, and Scottie Schefflers, but they're the guys that were there with them at the end of the FedEx Cup championship. All right, so here we go, Rick. Top five in no random order. You put them in the right order. Are you ready?
If Sam Burns is on this list, I'm putting him at one.
Sam Burns is not on this list. Sam Burns, is he even playing in this thing? Because he's not even in the top 15.
Probably not then.
Yeah, I would think he's...
I was just trying to get ahead of it, do something impressive.
I like it. That would have been cool. Are you going to try that every week now? You're just going to throw a name out there and see if it sticks?
If I remember to, I might.
Yeah, I think
that'll be the biggest issue.
That might be the main issue. all right, here we go, big guy. Xander Schauffele, Cam Davis, Sungjae Im, Keegan Bradley, Sahith Theegala.
All right, I'm going to go Sahith at five. I'll go Im at four. I'll go... who was the last three?
The last three are Keegan Bradley, Cam Smith, and Xander Schauffele.
I'll go Cam Smith at three, Xander at two, and Keegan at one.
No, but you almost had Sahith and Sungjae Im correct. You almost had those.
Darn it.
Sungjae Im five, Sahith Theegala four, Xander Schauffele three, Keegan Bradley two, and Cam Davis at one.
That's an interesting one.
It's fascinating. We're gonna see why, but I'm definitely interested. All right, here we go. Number five, Sungjae Im, the man who never stops golfing. Unlike his teammate at the Asian Games, Siwoo Kim, who missed the cut at the Shriners following their gold medal performance, Im is fresh off a playoff loss at the Genesis Championship in his native South Korea and was T3 at Narashino in 2019. That's the course that this is being played at. I would probably move him up this list myself. Maybe into the 4 or 3 area, but
I mean, I would definitely put him above Cam Davis.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's playing back in his home continent, you know, like this is the kind of golf he grew up playing in, you know, the Asian Pacific. So I don't know. Just strange that the names that are here are above him, I should say.
Yeah.
Definitely not strange that he's in the top 5. That makes sense to me. Just 5 feels a bit too low.
Mm-hmm.
Sahith Theegala, this is the 25-year-old's first start as a PGA Tour winner where he won at the Fortinet. Now that he's broken through, it's easy to believe that he'll rip off another title soon. How about in consecutive starts, made noise in Zozo debut last year with a T5. I like it. He is playing hot golf right now. Again, he's the type of guy that getting 2 wins early could mean a lot down the stretch as the season goes on. To continue, number 3, Xander Schauffele. His annual family reunion in the country has been complemented by a pair of top 10s in the tournament that with last year's T9 and the better of the tandem. His scoring average in his last 6 rounds at Narashino is a sporty 67.67. This is kind of one of my dark horses to win this. Because he's coming off of a fairly mid to kind of bad performance at the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
And he plays well in the continent of Asia. Obviously, you know, having his mom be from Japan helps.
Yeah.
Because he brings up the family reunion that is real. He does get to see a bunch of family when he's there. And there's something to that, I think, you know?
Yeah, I think it gives you a little bit of a boost.
Right. So I do think he's definitely one of my dark horses to win this, although clearly not that dark of a horse if he's number 3.
Yeah.
In power rankings. But to keep moving forward, number 2, Keegan Bradley. The only edition of the Zozo Championship for which he didn't qualify was the only one at Narashino. And if it were up to him, he'd never want to relocate it again. Preceded his 2022 title with a T13 in 2019 and a T7 in 2021. So it looks like he won it in 2022, if I'm not mistaken here. So that's big. I get that. But, you know, I just don't know how I feel about him being number 2 on this list.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't hate it. I think it's just because of who's number 1 that I'm not the biggest fan.
Yeah, that's a confusing one. So let's figure out why Rob was to be so bold. God, I'm good. Cam Davis, number 1. It's one thing to put it all together in pursuit of immediate goals, but the Aussie already is exempt into all of the signature events in 2022, so only a victory is on his mind. Since the 3M Open, he's 6-for-6 with four top 7 finishes. Damn.
Okay.
That I did not know. 6-for-6 in top 7s?
That's not bad.
That's not bad. That's a good stretch of golf. That is actually fairly good. Now, I don't know if the argument of now that he's exempt into the signature events this year, there's going to be a weight off his shoulders. I'm not quite sure if I'm on board.
Yeah, I don't know.
With that argument, but the 6-for-6 with 4 top 7s, that's a hot.
Yeah. What he's doing leading up to it, I can agree with.
Yeah. I don't know if I put him in the 1 spot here. But top 5 for sure, because I was going I don't even know if I put him in the top 5. But this is where golf can get tricky, folks. You would think we would know about somebody being a top 7 in his last 6. Completely over our heads.
The problem is, it's not like other sports where each team plays and you can keep track of their records and everything like that. There's 150 golfers every week. It's almost impossible to keep track of all of them and understand where they're all at, especially when it's a guy like Cam Davis, where he's not the biggest name in the world. So you're not like looking for him on the leaderboard every week.
Yeah. And he was always the second best Australian because of Cam Smith. And now Cam Smith's over on the Live Tour. Yeah.
Yeah. So kind of slipped under our radar a little bit. Again, I still don't know if I'm putting him at 1, but I don't have as much of an argument for not putting him there.
Right. I will say I'm on board for the top five. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. Even top three. I'll take top three.
Yeah. That's a hot stretch of golf. That's good stuff. All righty, buddy. That's going to wrap it up unless you have any other golf news. All righty, folks. As always, thank you so much for listening week in and week out. We appreciate the heck out of you guys. We have the most loyal 10 listeners of all time. It's a crazy how you guys keep coming back for more. We appreciate it. We really do. The fact that you guys can get through and or if you enjoy the first 15 minutes of every podcast where we don't talk about golf. It's a good time. We always like it because we get to talk to each other, which is always a good time. So, Rick, obviously have a fantastic time tomorrow, my guy. It's going to be huge. Or as the listeners would be, I guess, listening today. Have a good time tonight. Thank you again so much for listening. Go ahead and follow us on our social medias at FTT_pod on X, formerly known as Twitter, at FromTheTips_pod on Instagram. Would love it if you guys followed on there. We're trying to be more active. We're not great at social media, but we're trying.
We're not really phone people.
We're not. And it's just something that we're not necessarily the greatest at. And if we had money, which we don't, we'd pay somebody to do it, but we don't. So what are you going to do? But we're trying to get more active. So go ahead and follow us. We thank you again so much for listening, and we out.
Thanks, guys. See you later. Go Phils.